A few years ago, when I was in first theology in seminary, I remember old Monsignor Connolly, who taught us 4 semesters of church history, saying, "Gentlemen, pray for the grace of perseverance." And I thought, well, does he mean persevering through this class or through 4 semesters with him? And then I thought, well, maybe it's persevering through 4 years of seminary. And then I finally realized, especially as time goes on, no, it's praying each day for that grace of perseverance, to keep the course, to keep the eyes fixed on Christ, and keep journeying ahead as the faithful disciple. Remember last week's gospel. Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do people say that I am?" To which St. Peter, and like ourselves, have to respond, "You are the Son of God. You are my Lord and my Savior." But then we have to live the answer. Remember, Jesus said, "If you are my disciple, then deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me each day." So deny yourself, meaning it's not about me, it's about I am a Christian. I'm a member of the Catholic Church. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That I do take up my cross, meaning I live my vocation, day in, day out, as we say today, 24/7, and I follow each day, each day. Well, our Lord continues to clarify what it means to be the faithful disciple. Notice in the gospel today, he says, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, that imagery of plowing probably escapes most of us. I've never plowed a field. I'm sure none of you have plowed a field. Maybe a little rototiller here and there. Also, our modern-day farm equipment doesn't help because it's so sophisticated. I remember visiting Father Thomas Hahn during his time of ordination. He's our deacon about 4 years ago, and his father has a farm. And his father showed us this machine that's like one of those transformer toys that just goes and can plow 24 rows of crops at a time and plant the seeds. Well, the image of Jesus is much different. Jesus lives in the area of Galilee, which even today, as it was then, is a highly agricultural area. But the farmer had to take this plow, attach it to the oxen, and then put the blade into the ground, follow behind, hold his hands firmly on the handles, and slowly plow this field. He had to keep his eyes straight forward so that he could make the straight furrow and use the land the best that he could. He also had to have his hands firmly set in case he hit like a rock or just some very hard soil. Well, that's the image our Lord uses for us, that to be that disciple, we have to keep our eyes fixed on him, put our hands to the plow, and stay the course. We can't be looking all around. But our Lord knew this himself. When our Lord speaks this, notice that he has already predicted he's going to be arrested, crucified, yet rise again. Our gospel passage begins with that Jesus resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. A better, more literal translation would be that he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. So our Lord knows his mission. He knows who he is. He knows he has to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his Father's will. He knows the cross awaits, but that is the altar of sacrifice to forgive our sins. He knows, too, that there will be death, but resurrection will come. He knows his mission is to conquer suffering, sin, death, Satan himself, evil itself. But not an easy task. Remember, at the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before our Lord died, Jesus prays. He sweats blood. And he says, "Father, if it's possible, let this chalice pass. But not as you will, or not as I will, as you will." And with that, our Lord found great consolation. Again, keeping his eyes focused, hands set to the plow, keeping the course. Well, my brothers and sisters, that's the way it has to be for us. As we live our Christian vocation, we have to have our eyes, our faces, steadfastly set to the goal, heaven, union with our Lord. Yes, union now, but perfect union with the Holy Trinity in heaven. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Christ in this life, to put our hands to that plow, and to keep the course steady. This is not easy, because living in our world today, we could easily be distracted to all that's around us, especially for, I think, young people who face the trials of going off to high school for the first time, whole new environment, or especially going off to college for the first time, whole new environment. They could be so easily distracted, take their hands off, take their eyes off of Jesus, and give in to the temptations of gratification, be that drugs or alcohol or promiscuity, whatever it may be. The sad part is, think how many young people waste their lives, waste the opportunity for education because of that. How many young people end up with broken hearts, broken lives, because of taking their eyes off of Christ. But we also have to be mindful of always turning back. Oh, the devil likes us to do that. Instead of seeing that, yes, I'm a Christian, maybe, oh, remember when you used to do that sin, how much fun it was, what comfort it was? Lies of the devil are always there. But we have to say, get behind me, Satan. That's not my life. Eyes forward, fixed on Christ. As a priest, I have to admit, it's not always easy to keep the eyes fixed, hands on the plow, steady course. I remember this coming Tuesday, 16 years ago, officially our parish started. So Bishop Laverty asked me to, actually told me to start this parish. He didn't tell me how. He didn't give me any money. He gave us the plot of land, a loan to buy a house, but that was it. So, thank God for you all. And God has blessed us in so many ways. Look what we have now compared to the year 2000. But it wasn't always easy. I have to say that at times it was very overwhelming, trying to get a new parish started, dealing with construction costs, finances, fundraising, all kinds of things. Not easy. And there's always the devil saying, oh, look behind. Look behind. You left that wonderful, nice parish that you worked so hard at. You could have still been there. Or the devil says, oh, remember, you could have been an accountant. That's what you studied at William and Mary. You could have gone on to law school. You could have had a wife and kids. That's the way the devil works. But instead we have to say, behind me, Satan. Keep the eyes fixed on Christ. Hands to the plow, moving forward. I remember back in seminary again, Cardinal Kroll, then the Archbishop, once came out to talk to us, and he said, you know, gentlemen, as a bishop, I've had to meet with many priests, too many priests, that have wanted to leave the priesthood. And he said, I always ask them one question. When did you stop praying? And they all say, long time ago. Isn't that true? Took the eyes off of Christ. But the same is true for marriage. Marriage isn't easy. Any of you who here are married, you well know that. My parents were married for 43 years before my dad died. And they went through tough times. They had times of financial problems, serious medical problems, just personal relationship problems, raising two boys wasn't easy. My brother wasn't perfect like I was. So, but they believed in their marriage, and they did pray and go to church and do those basic things. But they believed. I always tell couples, when you take those vows, it's good times and bad, sickness and health, till death do us part. The bad times will be there in the sense of sacrifice, trial, difficulties, setbacks. There's going to be the times when things just don't go well, but you have to keep your eyes on Christ. Yes, the devil will always be there, and he'll say, oh, look what you left behind. Those fun times when you were single and you could do whatever you wanted to do. Look when you didn't have any of these responsibilities. Or you could have married so-and-so. Goodbye, Satan. Turn the back on Satan. Keep the eyes fixed. Sadly, in our country, we have a divorce rate of 50% in the first 5 years. That's tragic. And we then have to think that half of our kids are raised most of their lives by a single parent. But the same set of statistics, the same study by the Family Research Council shows that if couples go to church each week, that divorce rate drops to 10%. And if they pray together, whether it's grace at meals or other times, it drops to 5%. And if they don't contracept, it drops to less than 1% because their lives are united in the love of our Lord and with each other. Doesn't make it easy, but they know Christ is there. Christ will give them the strength to persevere. We have a great saint that we could think of in this, St. Camillus de Lillis, funny name, but he lived during the 1500s in Italy. He had been a soldier, like a mercenary, had been wounded in battle, did not have much religion at that time. Then he tried to become a Franciscan, but they did not keep him because of the problems from his wounded leg. So he started his own religious community. His community was sort of like Mother Teresa's, that they went out to take care of the poor, the sick, and so on. But once he was just so overwhelmed. Overwhelmed because he was exhausted. Overwhelmed because of debts. Not having enough money to pay for the services that they wanted to give to the poor. And just feeling crushed. So he's praying at the altar rail of the chapel. Above the tabernacle was a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the image came alive. Jesus held out his heart aflame with love. And Jesus said to St. Camillus, do not be discouraged, my faint-hearted son. Continue the work that you have begun. You will succeed because it is my work and I am with you. So my brothers and sisters, pray for the grace of perseverance. Life isn't always easy. We know that. But we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, our hands to the plow, we stay the course. And one day, not only will we have his love here and now, but one day we'll have that perfect love in heaven. May God bless you.